already said, continue to pray for me as I stand before you. I've been studying the last couple of weeks on a huge subject. And as I've already said, it seems like any subject you get into the Bible and you look in, the more you study it, the more it just seems to, the bigger and bigger it gets. But what I've been looking at, what I've been studying is a law, actually. I'm talking about a law of nature. The law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect is a huge, is an absolutely humongous subject. The law of cause and effect encompasses everything around and about us. Everything that we do, everything that's about us encompasses the law of cause and effect. In my studies of the laws of cause and effect, I had the desire to try to bring it over into, first of all, look at the natural realm and then bring it over into the spiritual realm. I think that would be the natural progression of looking at the law of cause and effect, because if we can understand it in the natural realm, then you see all we simply have to do is just turn it over and apply the same knowledge into the spiritual realm. And as I began to start studying the things in the natural realm of cause and effect, I found myself inundated just there without even going into the spiritual realm. It's so big. What I want to do this morning, Lord willing, I'm going to have to break my thought up into maybe two, at least two, maybe three or four sermons, because it's such a big subject. And what I want to look at this morning, it's the cause of the law of cause and effect as it pertains to this world, as it pertains to the people of this world and the things that are therein. Now, this is more probably a teaching this morning, I think, maybe than it is a preaching. But I think it's necessary that we lay that fundamental foundation down so that we can understand that. And if, Lord willing, if God guides and directs me into next week and you're here next Sunday, I'm hoping, Lord willing, that you'll see how all this just flows right in to the spiritual cause and effect. But I first want to cover the natural law of cause and effect. And when we're talking about that, the biggest thing that comes to my mind is the thoughts of evolution. And you say, well, now, brother, we all know about evolution, or know, we none of us believe in evolution. Well, I'm thankful. I'm glad. But we've got a lot of young people here this morning. And I think it's needful, because evolution is taught not as theory. You know, when I was in school, and some of you others were in school, it was taught as a theory. Evolution was, this is the theory. It's not a theory anymore. It's a fact. Okay? It's taught as a fact. This is how the things came about, is by evolution, by the evolutionary process. And children in the school today are completely inundated. You see, you can't even teach creation. It's evolution, because they say evolution is a science. But evolution is not a science. A science is the study of something. You study it through systematic, it's a knowledge of something that's studied through a systematic type of experiments or observations. It's something that you obtain through a systematic system of observations or experiments. Observation. Anywhere that you look at the word science or scientific or anything like that, in the definition, somewhere in there you're going to have the word observation, or a word very similar to observation. And that's what science is. Science is an observation of things that we know. It's fact and it's proof. That's what science is. It says that water boils at, what is it, 212 degrees? I think something like that, close to 212. And at different elevations, it boils at different rates. You see, this is all scientific fact. Because you can clearly observe it with the eyes. You can demonstrate it through experiment. But you see, evolution, when you look at the doctrine of evolution, they say that science, it completely goes beyond the bounds of anything that the definition of science says it is. It's not, there's nothing that's ever been proven by evolution. Evolution is not fact. Evolution believe that? Evolution is a religion that the world has adopted to say that this is why how these things have come about. This is how these things have come about. Well, to understand this a little bit more, what we have to look at is cause and effect. The law of cause and effect says that for every effect, there is a cause. For everything that happened or happens, there is a cause. Nothing happens, this is the law of cause and effect, nothing happens purely by just chance. Now, a lot of times we use chance in our conversation about things happening, but we use that when we don't understand or don't know what the cause was. But everything has a cause. Nothing happens just by chance. There's a cause to, and there's an effect to every cause. But now I want you to see now, I'm not trying to be a professor this morning, but I want to try to clear it, put it in a way to you that's clear that you can see, but you have to see cause and effect. See, cause and effect encompasses three things. It encompasses time, matter, and space. Cause and effect. Why does it encompass time, matter, and space? Because without time, matter, and space, you don't have a beginning. You see, you can't have a cause without a beginning. You see, now that's just plain English. I mean, that's just plain company. You cannot have a cause of something without a beginning. God says over in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Now here we have the cause and effect. In the beginning, there's your time. That's the beginning of time. God, in the beginning, God created what? The heavens, space, and the earth. Man. You see, there's your three elements right there. Time, space, and mass. Now we've got a cause. We've got an effect. The effect is the creation. The creator, or the cause, that is God. God is the first cause. God does not have a cause. He is the first cause. He is the eternal creator. You see why He doesn't have a cause literally, I mean intellectually, why He doesn't have a cause is because God didn't have a beginning. You see, God didn't have a beginning. You remember over there in Psalms 90, verse 2, I think it says this, the prayer of Moses says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, before the mountains were brought forth, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou art God. You see what evolution does? Evolution tries to take God completely out of the picture. It tries to take God completely out of the picture of everything. Of everything. It says there is no God. And now you know there was a time in my life, in school and things, and in my own way of thinking, that I had doubts in my mind about a God. I believe I was a child of God back then when I had those doubts, because I know back before then, way before then, I had a great love of God. But I think it's common for somebody to contemplate, is there a God? I think it's common to contemplate, well, are all these scientists, so-called intellectual scientists, are they really telling the truth about this evolution thing? I mean, did it really happen that way? You see, when you get down to it, there's only three ways, there's only three views about how life came to be. You see, first of all, there's the view that the earth is eternal. That the earth has always been here. It's always been here. I mean, that's how the Buddhism and the Hinduism, that's how they ascribe, because they say that it's inconceivable to go way back there and try to determine the formation of the earth or anything, because the Buddhist says it's always been there. It's all, the deist says that it's always been here. The earth has always been here. But science has proven that the earth is getting older. That there's entropy. That it's getting older. That they've proven that within every 30 to 33 years that the moon actually moves away from the earth approximately 1 foot. That it's losing its gravitation, that gravitational pull. It's losing that at that rate, 30, and that it's getting older. And there's other things that they use to show that the earth is getting older. But you see, if something is getting older and it's beginning to wear down, you see that you have to say it had a beginning. For something to be getting older and for something to be wearing down, it has to have a beginning. Where do you get that from? The second law of thermodynamics. You see, all this are the very laws that the scientists use to try to prove everything that goes against what the Bible says. The second law of thermodynamics says that there is an increase of entropy. There's an increase of decay in the earth that's going on. And it's saying that if there is an increase in decay, it's because it had a beginning. It had a beginning. The earth had to have a beginning in order for it to start getting older. Now that's the first theory that people have about how the earth came around. The second one is, they say, it just happened. It's just by chance. We're all here this morning because of a humongous mistake or an accident that happened literally billions of years. The textbook will say now 10.5 billion years ago, there was a big bang out there, and it just happened. It just happened. And you know, and then they just had a progression of things of cause and effect from that. And things went on. You know, I saw it. My wife saw it on the bumper sticker one time. And it's talking about the Big Bang Theory. Everybody's heard about the Big Bang Theory. So I believe in the bumper sticker said, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. He said, God said, let it be, and bang, it happened. Now that's the Big Bang Theory I believe in. If God says, let it be, then it happened. But you see, the fallacy in believing that everything just by chance happened billions of years ago does not answer. It completely takes away from the cause, from the law of cause and effect, because you haven't answered that law yet. If you say there was just a big bang that happened out there, it just happened all on its own, what was the cause of that big bang? I mean, you never answer the question. You got to go back and back, and what's the cause of this, you see? But they don't answer cause and effect. They completely do away with the law of cause and effect. Just say it's by chance that all these things happen. It just by chance happened. Just by chance all this stuff happened. There was a man in 1981, his name was Fred Hoyle. And he was a mathematician and astronomer, and he began to start studying these things about how things could just happen. And I mean, how could it just happen that the earth is created? Not created, but it's just formed. See, thank God I can't get away from that word created. But they say that the earth just formed by mistake. I mean, it just happened. And Dr. Hall said the chances of that happening, the chances of that of a higher life form emanating from that, the chances of that happening, he said, are equivalent to a tornado going through a junkyard and assembling a Boeing 747 from the material that's in the junkyard. He said, that's the chances. It can happen, he said. Now what's the chances of that? That a tornado's gonna go through a junkyard and assemble a Boeing 747 complete from just the junk that's laying out there. That's the chances, my friend, of the formation of this earth. And there are some people, my friends, that are not evolutionists, and they're not theists. They don't just believe in God. They believe in both. They have a mix of both. They believe, yes, God did so much, and then turned it back and left the world like a spinning top. And just whatever's going to happen. I mean, that's how they answer that it just happened that way. Man's always wanting to try to find an answer to this. Always, and you know what it genders? It genders is taking God out of the whole scheme of things, don't you see? It's taking God out of the whole scheme of things. The Lord talked to Job in the 38th chapter of Job. And he said, when the Lord answered Job out of the world, then the Lord answered Job out of the world when he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge. Now who he was talking about here, who God was talking about, was about those three miserable comforters that Job had there. They darkened his counsel by words without knowledge. They didn't know what they were talking about, you see. They offered no help and no peace and no rest to Job. They were just there, Brother Hunt called him one time and said, blowing smoke. Just blowing smoke. He said, that's equivalent to saying they're just blowing smoke. And that's what, that that's what the scientists and the professors and the doctors of this day and age, that's what they're doing. They're just trying to blow smoke. He goes on to say here in that third verse, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I'll demand of thee an answer, and answer thou me." He says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." This is God saying, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare." He's saying, "Declare if you have understanding on these things. Tell me all about it if you were there." He said, "You weren't there." You know who was there? God was there. God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, that's where your faith is. Now, this morning, I can't say, you know, we can't say, "Yes, but we weren't there." Well, how are we to believe that? How are we to believe that God could? Because, my friends, God's Word is sufficient for God's people in answering the questions that we have pertaining to this and many other things. It's just like a good interview. You know, you go to a good interview when the person that's interviewing you, when he's done with the interview, you don't have any questions to ask him. He's answered all the questions. Maybe now all you want to do is just show him who you are and how the organization might benefit by you. But there's no questions. He's answered all the questions before you brought them up. This is what God's Word does. It answers all the questions. And you say, "Well, this is just a Bible. I mean, this man's Bible." But you see, God's Word, you see, it's also by faith how we believe. It's by faith in our heart. Do you remember what Paul said over in the 11th chapter of Hebrews in the first through the third verse? He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the faith, the elders obtained a good report." He goes on in that third verse, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. What's that Word of God? Is that this right here? Is this what framed the earth and the world? No. It's talking about the living Word. It's talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He said, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." We believe that through faith. You see, it's faith in our heart. It's faith in God. That look around. Listen, all you got to do is look around. Psalm says the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalms 19:1. It's there. All you have to do is tell God all he has to do is get out and just look and ponder and imagine, how could it be by anything other than a sovereign, almighty, powerful God? You see, it's all by God that done it. It wasn't just a happen chance or an accident. Me and you aren't just some misfortune that happened out there between land and sea. These things happened because God ordained it to be this way. He created the heavens and the earth. I want to tell you, you go over there to Romans 1:20, and he said, "And the invisible things of Him are clearly seen." Listen to me. "The invisible things of Him are clearly seen from the creation of the earth." Let me go over there and get that right quick. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." Even His eternal power and Godhead. "So that they are..." Who's they? Talking about God's people. More specifically, he's talking about a different kind of God's people here in the first chapter of Romans, but it goes for all of God's people. "So that they are without excuse." So that they are without excuse. You see, my friends, when we look at creation, when we look at the beautiful things that God has done, when we consider our bodies and the beasts of the field and the fowl of the air, and when we consider the earth and how it's rotation, when we consider the seasons and how perfectly in line we are with the sun and how things exist that way, we can't help but thank God and know by faith that it was a God, a sovereign God, that created the heavens and the earth, and not just some crazy chance thing that just happened out yonder. It's not a chance system. Things didn't just happen. But you see, that's how
That's what the schools want you to believe. Now,
why do the schools want you to believe evolution? Why don't they? You know they don't want you to bring in creation. You're not even allowed to bring it. That's why they don't call evolution a religion. If they called evolution a religion, you'd have to bring in creation. So they're calling evolution a science. But as I've already said, study it out. Evolution is not a science. It's not a fact. It's just a theory. And for something to be science, it has to be a proven, it has to be something proven under experiment and observation. Nobody's experienced or observed evolution. All they want to say, they have their time. But why? You know what it does? You know, it's Satan. It's Satan and his own tricks. Evolution didn't just start in 1859. You know, Charles Darwin in 1859, you remember the Origin of the Species? The big book that Darwin came out with that was going to really open up the can of worms now. And all those that wanted to flee, as a coincidence, you know, Charles Darwin in 1859, when he wrote that book, he was a dropout. He went to theology school over in England. I can't think of the name of it. Cambridge. He was going to theology school over there, and he dropped out. And he wrote the book, The Origin of the Species. And people just grabbed hold of it, you see. People just grabbed hold. And it's that one. It didn't just start in 1859. It started back in the Garden of Eden. When the devil told Eve, said, if you eat this, said, it'll make you to be as gods. You see, that's what evolution is talking about. Evolution starts from a lower form and it's trying to bring you up to a higher. You're always getting higher and higher and higher. You see, evolution's never called us going back. It's always going forward, isn't it? Everything's always through limitations and through mutations and things like that. Everything's always progressing greater and greater, you see. That's what the devil says. If you eat this, you'll be as gods then, you see. You'll be getting better. You're going to better yourself. That's what evolution is. Charles Darwin started that. Got very popular in the 1859s. And Hitler just grabbed a hold of it. Hitler just grabbed hold of it. Because in that Origin of Species and some of the other books that Dr. Charles Darwin wrote said that the darker species were of inferior race than the lighter colored species. I'm talking about humans, Homo sapiens, human beings. That the darker colored species were of an inferior race. And actually, what needed to be done was they needed to be thrown out, cast away, and done away with to make room for the higher order humans, a higher order of people, the lighter skinned people. And that's what caused Hitler, that's one of the things that started Hitler on with his theology there, and not theology, but in Nazism, was Charles Darwin. But the schools don't want to teach anything about creation. They don't want you to know anything. They don't want to preach God. You see, have you noticed, have you studied, have you realized that in America there's a moral decline in this country? That there's a moral decline. Now people say, well, yes, it's bad in this town and it seems like it's real bad, but I'm sure my grandparents said the same thing. Well, I'm sure they did. And I'm sure it was bad, but it wasn't as bad then as it is now. You see, generations, we have a moral decline going on in America. Now there's a lot of reasons for that moral decline, and one of the biggest is a turning away from God. It's a turning away from God. And what does evolution do? You see, what you do is you take a child and you brainwash them. You brainwash them that you're just an animal, you're just a beast of the field, that it's just by some chance you took a different avenue than a possum did. And now you're a man instead of a possum. And you're just in this long chain of things. I mean, you're just in this long chain of evolution. Who does that make you accountable to? Who are you accountable to when you're just an accident? When you're just here because this is part of the evolutionary process. It takes God out of the picture and it takes God out of your mind so that you're no more accountable, or in your heart you feel no more to be accountable to anybody, you see. You're not accountable to God. This is who I am. I'm a beast. I'm supposed to act like this. You see how that comes about? And that's exactly what's going on.
Now, it's not that blatantly clear, but in the back of the minds of the children, that's what's going on, because
the children are being brought to just think, well, there's nothing to it, you know. I mean, we're just a beast of the field, basically. I mean, we're a higher order than the beast of the field. In the beginning, God. You see, there was a beginning. A beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. And He created in those 6 days. And it wasn't 6,000 years. It wasn't 600 or 6 million or 6 billion. It was 6 days. And you say, well, now it says over in the second chapter of Peter that the day was, you know, a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years is as a day with the Lord. It sure does. But that doesn't mean that a day was a thousand years. That just means to Christ, one day is as good as a thousand. There's no thought of time with God, you see. If one day is a thousand years in the time of creation, and He made the earth and the heaven, and He created everything in 6 days, then how come after every day He said in the evening and the morning were the first day? In the evening and the morning were the second day. In the evening and the morning were the third day. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Evening and the morning. We're not talking about thousand years, we're talking about one 24-hour period that God created everything that was going to be created. And nothing has been created since, nor has there been a need of any fixing of what God had created there on those 6 days. It was all created then. You know, anyhow, it was on one day he made all the plants. The third day? I should know this, but I'd have to go back and read it. The third day he made all the plants and the vegetation. And the fourth day he made the light. The lesser light and the greater light. You remember the lesser light, the greater light. The lesser light was the moon to rule the night, and the greater light was the sun to rule the day. That was after he made the plants. So I reckon plants and everything lived without photosynthesizing for 1,000 years. You see, that doesn't even work. Plants got to photosynthesize. If he didn't, then I guess they just evolved where they didn't have to. So why are they growing so good now that the sun's out? I mean, these things don't make any sense. One day, my friends, with God, here in Genesis 1:1 was a 24-hour period, and He made and created everything in 6 days, and His brother Bobby said, and He rested. Our brother Hunt said last Sunday, He rested on that seventh day. He rested on that. And everything that He says in those days of when He was creating things, He says, and let them bring forth after their kind. Let them bring forth after their kind. You ever notice how many, sometime go and read how many times He says after their kind. He doesn't just say it half a dozen or more times just for filler. He's saying it that many times so you can get the picture that He made the cattle of the field and the fowl of the air and the creatures in the sea. He made them after their kind. That means once a kangaroo, always a kangaroo. A rat didn't evolve into a kangaroo. I had a science teacher, boy, when I was in high school, and I didn't have enough sense to just hush. I'd have made a lot better grades. But me and him would argue in class, and he'd bring up this evolution stuff. And he was talking about rats and bats, and I just got done listening to a tape. That you remember that tape that we listened to? He said that bats evolved from rats. You know, they finally figured that they could get around a whole lot better if they had wings, I guess. So they evolved wings. Well, that's fine. I raised up my hand and said, Mr. Smith, I said, if that's happened, I said, we're covered up with rats. And I said, when I go out at night, I see bats every night. I mean, bats, we're covered up in bats and rats. And I said, where's the bat rats at? Where's all the in-between? Well, I've never seen a little rat scurrying around with half a wing sticking out of his side. Have you? Well, you go and you got bats. Where's the bat rats? Well, he didn't like that too well. He didn't have an answer, and that's why he didn't like it too well. And that's one of the reasons why I wasn't one of his favorite pupils. He said another time he was talking about somewhere in the center of the Piedmont part of North Carolina. He said, and they dug around there and they found seashells. They found seashells. And this was scientific fact for him. You know, it was showing down through the millions and billions of years how the ocean has changed, you know, where water was at maybe a million years ago. It wasn't 5 million years ago. And all the, you know, just confusion with years and dates and all that stuff. And he goes, and there were seashells. He says, that's showing that fact right there. And Mr. Smith, I said, what about the flood? I said, there was a flood that covered the earth. I said, could the flood not have deposited the seashells? Could it cover the earth? Well, he didn't like that either. That was answer. That was too easy of an answer. You see, people don't like a simple answer. They don't like it when you bring in God's Word because it answers everything too simply. You see, Charles Darwin was going around trying to find the fossils that were like the crustaceans, between the crustaceans and the lizards or whatever it was, trying to find that in-between, you know, where it was evolving, you know. And they were looking through all sorts of sedimentary rock. You know, sedimentary rock's the only place you're going to find fossils is not in igneous rock. Igneous rock is your hard granite or marble-like rock. Sedimentary rock is that that's been deposited by sediment, by some big catastrophe, some big hydrological catastrophe. What could that have been? All over the world, it's been found worldwide. All over the world, there's sedimentary rock everywhere. It's everywhere you go. Oh, how could that be? Could it be because of the flood? The flood deposited the sediments, and they packed it down in layers. Charles Darwin's been looking, was looking, and people are still now looking. They're trying to use the fossils in the sedimentary rock to try to age, to see how old these crustaceans, see how old these things are. And they put, you know, we'll add another zero to the end of it, or let's just say it's however old it is. You know, they use carbon dating. And I don't want to get into all this carbon 14 and carbon 12 dating, but basically I want to tell you this, and you can study this out. The carbon dating is not accurate in sedimentary rock. It's only accurate in igneous rock. Okay? You got that? It's not accurate in sedimentary rock. It's only accurate with igneous rock, with hard granite rock. Okay? Where are the fossils found? They're not found in igneous rock. They're found in sedimentary rock, aren't they? Because they were laid there and deposited. So that's they use carbon 14 and carbon 12. They're using those things to determine the age of fossils in rock that carbon 14 won't even work in. And that's where they're coming up with their ages. You say, well now, what about, brother, what about dinosaurs? What about dinosaurs? Dinosaurs were around. Don't tell me dinosaurs were. Yes, they were. But you know, that's another thing that the schools use to try to get children into this evolution thing, because the first thing, I've seen it with my daughter, and what she brings home in those scholastic news things that she brings home. In fact, she just brought one home last week. It had a picture of a Tyrannosaurus Rex on there. And I was reading down, it said that it was 14 million, I can't remember, 14 million years old. That's a fact. Well, you see, we can't say that there wasn't dinosaurs. So what are we going to do? Have they got us? No. Dinosaurs and evolution don't have anything in common. Not a thing. But you see, they want to lump them together. They want to get you to believe that there were dinosaurs, and there were dinosaurs. But along with that, they're going to slip in, oh yeah, and it's 15 million years old. You see. See, an evolutionist, what an evolutionist has to have to try to prove his theory is time. It takes time. To go to an evolutionist and show him by the Bible that this earth has only been around when God created it about some 6,000 years doesn't even give the evolutionist a near bit of time to try to prove his facts on evolution. He's got to go back. He's got to stretch this thing off millions and billions of years. Well, there were dinosaurs back in the mountains, the evidence is too overwhelming to deny that. And I'm not just going with the evidence of what man has dug up. As I said earlier, let's go to God's Word. Does God's Word say anything about dinosaurs? No, that's not dinosaurs. Dinosaurs, the term dinosaurs wasn't brought up to the mid-1800s. Dinosaur means terrible lizard. That's what dinosaur means in the Latin, terrible lizard. That's why you don't see the word dinosaur in the 1611, because it wasn't until the mid-1800s that a man even used the word dinosaur. But back then they were called dragons. You ever heard dragons in the Bible? You ever heard behemoth? You ever heard of Leviathan? Go over into Job and read about behemoth over in about the 30th or the 30th 40, I'm sorry. When you get a chance sometime, I'm going to read both these chapters to you. I won't read it this morning, but chapter 40 and chapter 41 talk about two beasts there that are outside of anything that we have ever observed or seen walking this earth or in this earth at this day and age. Behemoth is a great, is a big animal. And he says that behemoth had a tail like a cedar tree, brother. A tail like a cedar tree. Now my center column, and yours probably does too, says that behemoth was an elephant. Well, I don't believe an elephant's got a tail like a cedar. A tail like a cedar, we're talking about a big cedar tree, and it drinks up water in Jordan. It says it drinks up the water in Jordan as so to drink it all up. We're talking about a great beast here. Leviathan. In the 41st chapter, God was showing Job, can anybody come near to Leviathan? Can anybody throw their spears or hooks into Leviathan or hook them and bring them to him? Can anybody control Leviathan? And you know what the middle center text column says that Leviathan was a whale. Well, Leviathan wasn't a whale. Whales don't have scales. Leviathan had scales that even air couldn't escape or come into. They were so tightly put together. It wasn't even close to a whale. Listen, the Eskimos have been harpooning whales for years. You can bring in a whale. They've been doing it up in Alaska. But he says, this animal right here, nobody can even get close to it. This is, and not only that, but he's spitting out fire. And what about that? Oh, you went too far now, brother. No, I hadn't. I'm still in God's Word. I'm still in God's Word. These are animals. These were beasts that lived back then, my friends. They lived back in Job's time, not in billions of years' time. In Job's time, there were big animals like that. There were big animals like that. Dinosaurs and evolution are two completely separate things. They don't have a thing to do with one another. And they say, well, man, you know, we're just an accident anyhow. Man's just came out of the ocean we started as a non-living thing, which is another law. I can't remember which law, but that non-living turned into living, and that goes against their nature, a law of nature that a non-living thing can't produce a living thing. It's only a living to a living. But they say, nevertheless, that everything started from a non-living thing, as protoplasm out there in the ocean floating around, and it turned into a tadpole or whatever it did, whatever creature it was, and it swam around in the ocean for millions of years, and then became unsatisfied with the ocean, decided it wanted to live on land, and started growing legs, and came up on land, and it started just coming off from there. Now it's got lungs, and now we're here, and here we are. And this is over millions and millions of years. My friends, that's a sick doctrine. That completely takes God out of all of it. You're not a monkey this morning. You didn't come from the lower life form. You came from God. God created Adam, my friends, in the garden. He created man. It wasn't just an accident. But people will say, you remember Neanderthal man that was dug up back in the early, right around the 1900s? Neanderthal man. Actually, into that, he was a gibbon. It was a type, which gibbon is a type of a monkey. That's what the skull was, ended up being.
Was it 1912 out of Piltman, England? You remember that? Well, I mean, I know you don't remember 1912. I don't remember.
But I mean, I'm talking about history books now. History books. Piltman. Piltman!
The Piltman, the man, caveman. You remember, they found a skull.
And they said, that's the missing link right there between us and the apes. That's the missing link. There it is.
And it stayed on the shelf for 40 years after scientists and everything marveled at it and said, this must be it. This is the evidence that we've been looking for that links this whole thing with evolution. This proves it
for 40 years before somebody came and they realized that the jawbone was the jaw of orangutan.
And the skull, it was a human skull, but it was orangutan jaw.
And not only that, but they had filed on it with carbon. They had filed on it to try to make it where it fit, where it looked more natural, filed on some of the teeth and all that. And now there was a scientist that wrote and said he went and looked at the Piltman. Yes, he went and looked. They still got it on display over in England, over in the museum in England, in London. It's still on display there.
Why is it on display? It's been shown to be a fraud. But they say, it's still there. He says, yeah, and this is a big evolutionist, but he admits now, he says, yes, and it's clear to see where the filing of the teeth have been. You know, he can see it from the cave. Well, he could see it then, but they couldn't see it back then when they had it right up to their eyes. No, it wasn't that they couldn't see it, my friend. It's that they were so yearning to find something to say, this supports evolution, and it takes God out of the picture, you see. That's what they were looking to do. That's what they were looking to do. Well, that was gone 1925, Nebraska man
over in Snake Camp or Snake Creek, Nebraska. 1925, man finds a tooth. He finds one tooth. And he takes it back and he says, here's the missing link right here. One tooth, Nebraska man. And you know what the scientists did with that one tooth? Now, Kirby, you've messed with teeth before. I didn't know you could get this much information out of a tooth. But they completely constructed a picture of what this man looked like with that one tooth. Completely! They showed he had the big bulge in the eye, you know, right here, and everything, and had the big chin, and he was hunched over, and his knuckles dragged the ground. I mean, they had them all. They had just looked just like a caveman for one tooth. These are scientists drawing this thing, saying this is what it is. It took them 2 years. Within 2 years of 1925, they had already constructed a full model of what Nebraska man looked like with that one tooth. In 1927, they wanted to go back to that spot and dig up some more remains. And they went back and they dug up some more remains. And you remember what the remains were? Now this is the scientist for you. This is what this man looked like with this one tooth. You know what it was? It was a pig. They dug up a pig skull and pig bones. They're so smart, they said, this is what it looks like. The whole time it came out of the jaw of a pig. Now that's how man is. But you see, what you have to see in all this, it's all funny, but what you have to see is how man is so dead set in his mind to try to show it, prove this evolution thing. To establish this and say, there's no God. And oh, if they could just find a missing link. But there is no missing link, my friend. There is no missing link. Evolution is not a fact. Evolution is not a fact. It's downright heresy. Remember over in the first chapter of Romans, we went there a while ago, in the first chapter of Romans, it says the people that served the creature more than the Creator. They served and they love and follow the creature more than the Creator. You see, that's what man's looking for now. He's looking to turn his mind and his heart and everything towards man and say, we didn't need God. God didn't do all this. We just came about, you see. But he says, in the beginning, God. Do you believe that it was in the beginning that God did all these things? That it was in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth? Or was it just a mistake? Was it just an happen chance? Something that just happened on its own? Faith, my faith and in God's Word tells me that God did the work. And God didn't just leave it like a spinning top when He got done with it, just to leave it alone, my friends. And my friends, there's never been any type of evolution and never will be any type of evolution. I believe in adaptation. Science, here we go with science. Science has proved adaptation, that animals can adapt, that even plants can adapt. There are certain plants of the same species that grow at a higher elevation. If you take the seed of that same species at a high above like a 4,000 foot elevation and you try to bring it down to a sand hill elevation, down in the sand hills, that seed, when it grows, it won't have near the same growth as a tree of the same species that's adapted to that soil in that sandy soil. You see what I'm saying? You can put it right next to that and it won't grow as good from the local seed that you get there. Why is that? Is that evolution? No, it's not evolving. It's still the same tree. It's still the same species. It's adapting. It's adapting to its environment. I believe in adaptation. But I do not believe in any form whatsoever of any type of evolution. God's Word is expressly against it. It says, and after their own kind, after their own kind in the first chapter of Genesis. Is after their own kind. God bless you. I appreciate the time. It's a little early, but...